Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see you. I misspoke earlier and called Jimmy Smith. I don't know where I got Jimmy Smith from. Jimmy, I know it's white, but must be a Jimmy Smith I've got on my mind that I need to go talk to somewhere. But we know everyone wants their name right, so we're just so grateful that Thursday that Jimmy obeyed the gospel. I'm telling you, it just does our hearts good to see those that are of the world coming out of the world and becoming a part of the body of Christ. It is joyful for us here, joy in heaven. I know also joy among the Spears family in particular as Jimmy becomes a part of their spiritual family. I also want to mention something else before I get started in the lesson this morning. On February the 4th, I'll be going back to Costa Rica for some 10 to 12 days as we go down there and work with those brethren down there south of us. It's an enjoyable trip to go down and see those brethren and watch their growth. They don't have a lot of folks going down there and visiting with them, and so we go down as much to encourage the brethren and the preachers as well down there, because they don't have a lot of folks they can talk to. So it gives us a chance to go down. Several have asked if I'd be willing to take any monetary stuff down there. I'd be more than happy to if you want to do that. If you do, that'll be fine. We'll see that the needs are taken care of, if indeed they are there. The atoning blood of Christ. I appreciate the songs that Tim directed us to sing just a few moments ago. And I sometimes wonder as we're singing those songs if our mind actually goes back to the blood, or if we just sing the songs because they're there. You ever found yourself singing something just for the sake of singing it, or saying things just for the sake of saying it, but yet the meaning is not there, or at least it's not where it needs to be? A blood-saving religion seems to be for many a thing that is of the past. Because you see, we have become such an enlightened nation, an enlightened group of people, that we no longer need to believe in these antiquated ideas of a blood-bought religion. Many efforts actually have been made to take blood out of many religions. In fact, some songbooks, not among our brethren, not yet anyway, have been where they're taking any thought whatsoever to blood out because they find it somewhat morbid and somewhat just not what you want to actually think about. A lot of them don't seem to mention the blood as it needs to be from time to time. Oh, we talk about the cross, we talk about the sacrifice that Christ made, but we really don't spend maybe enough time on talking about the blood that was shed on that cross. Maybe, again, as I said, we've just become so sophisticated and we've become so enlightened that we no longer need to hold on to those particular thoughts, even though there's so many passages that deal with it in Scripture. But there's another side of the issue, and that is that Christianity is very unique because it is a religion that is based upon this unique teaching. Jesus Christ came to the world to shed His blood so that you and I might have eternal life. And it is most obvious when we turn, and I want to read with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Because it is of interest that when the Apostle Paul spoke to the brethren there about their, actually many were losing their faith because someone was teaching that the resurrection had already passed, and he calls upon them to remember what it is that they were taught. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast the words which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died." It is important that we remember that Christ died, and that He died for me, and that He died for you, and that blood played a very important part in our eternal salvation. that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. In other words, there are all kinds of prophecies, we'll deal with some, about Him having to die. His willingness to die. His willingness to bleed. And that He was buried and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. I find it interesting when we look to that 15th chapter that it says two occasions according to Scripture. According to God's divine will. This is God's plan. God's plan from the very beginning was that Christ give His blood, give His life for you, and give His life for me. The purpose of our lesson is going to be then for us to understand the importance of the blood of Christ as it relates to me, as it relates to you. If I leave this great truth, then beloved, let me tell you, I am headed for spiritual ruin. If I take the blood out of the teachings of Christ, I have taken out that which means so much. It is important for us to understand and see the blood as it was seen in the Old Testament. This picture that I have on the board is actually from the Creation Museum that's up in Cincinnati. If you haven't had the opportunity to go up there, it would be to your advantage to go. There are a few odds and ends that you'll have to overlook, but the majority of it is straight to the book. And mothers and fathers, let me tell you, it'd be a good place to take your children. But preacher, they're going to see, yes, they're going to see that. They're going to see sacrificed animals. No, they're not real. They're out of that rubbery form, whatever that is. You see, our children need to see that. Sometimes we try to so protect our children that we don't let them see what they need to see. Children need to see blood and understand the significance of blood in their life, and especially when it comes to human redemption. So when we talk about and when we read about the sacrifice of animals, occasionally it might be good if we see just that, a sacrificed animal or something similar to that, to show us that in dealing with the sins of mankind, there were animals that were sacrificed. There were animals that gave their life so that those people of that first time, of the patriarchal period, the Mosaical period, there were animals that literally had their blood spilled in order that they might receive the forgiveness of their sins. In Leviticus 17 and verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Now you need to keep that in mind. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls." The blood that was spilled, even though this is an example, the blood that was spilled by animals, literal, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of animals in the patriarchal and the Mosaical period. That blood was shed as an atonement. Those innocent animals gave their lives in order that we might be atoned, or they might be atoned. I'm grateful that an animal doesn't have to be sacrificed today for me. But if God said that it needed to be done, guess what I'd be doing? I'd be sacrificing it. It is also interesting that you and I need to know that God was so concerned about the blood of man that He emphasized that anyone who would shed innocent blood, that they stood condemned. I find it interesting today that we don't give a whole lot of credence to that. We live in a nation that no longer looks upon blood as being something that is sacred. That a human being is something that is worth life, that is worth being around. We have more concern for bald eagles today. I like bald eagles. I love to look at them in flight. And we cry over the death of one bald eagle. But there's millions upon millions of young babies whose lives are taken, whose blood is shed in this nation. And we seem not to be concerned at all. God was very upset with those who would take the life of another person. We even go all the way back to Genesis itself when Cain killed Abel because he was angry, and he became angry because God didn't accept his sacrifice. And I believe the reason God didn't accept his sacrifice is because it was not the blood sacrifice that God had required. Noah, in Noah's day, after Noah's time upon the ark, and in Genesis chapter 9 and there verse 5 through 6, it pointed out very plainly that man whose life was taken by someone else, that man who took that life, his life also should be taken. And the reason being because life was in the blood. God did not tolerate, God would not tolerate someone who would premeditatedly take the life of another. He was concerned about someone who took the life of another when it was not premeditated, and even prepared a place of refuge for those folks. But also if someone did it premeditatedly, another family member is noted over in Numbers 35 and there verse 21. The blood avenger. A family member could go and get that person and not be at fault because that person had taken the life of yet another. But also we find over in Matthew chapter 23 and there verse 31 that Jesus was concerned about the nation of Israel and the way in which they were conducting themselves. Let's read together, if you would, from Matthew 23, beginning with verse 31. Therefore you are witnesses against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore indeed I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barak, and you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. What are they guilty of? Murder. Them and their fathers before them as they murdered the prophets of God. God did not hold someone guiltless when they shed the blood of the righteous. You want to know, again, going back to what I said a few moments ago about abortion, I think one of the reasons our nation is in such troubles today is because of our attitude towards individuals who will not see the sanctity of human life. Because our nation will not do its job and bear the sword the way that God intended it to do. If this nation falls, and I'm afraid it's headed in that direction, it will be because the blood of the righteous cry out. I believe that that's what Jesus was saying to Jerusalem, that they had forgotten the sanctity of human life. Atonement is in the shed blood of animals. The sacrifice of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, verse 3 through 7 illustrates that fact. Cain and Abel were called upon to sacrifice an animal in order that they might be atoned. But I want you to keep in mind that though that they were going to be atoned, their sins were not forgotten. They were not totally forgotten. And every year, another animal had to die. Blood had to be shed. Not too pretty of a picture, is it? Something had to be sacrificed year after year for that individual's sins that he or she had committed. Offerings were made during the time of Noah and Abraham, Melchizedek, Isaac and Jacob, and even Job. And under the law of Moses, elaborate instructions were given. Again, Leviticus 17:11. I have given to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. Sacrifice to me an animal. Give the blood of an animal that is without spot and without blemish. a perfect sacrifice I require because of the sins that you've committed in your life. They had to shed the blood of an innocent one. But yet, both the Old and the New Testament speak of an impending problem. And though it is an impending problem, it is something that God actually brought into play. Because in Genesis 22 and there verse 18, we find that God told Abraham that through him all nations of the earth was going to be blessed. That through his seed, now forgiveness had been offered, then there would not be a need for a seed. There would not be a need for something to come, a promise to be fulfilled. Though animals were being sacrificed, it was not enough. God was not satisfied. And who gets to determine if God is satisfied? Me? No. You know God does. Why? Because He is the Creator of all things. And in Him we live and move and have our very being. The blood, red flowing, daily, a creature had to die for the sins of the people. In Isaiah chapter 53, that passage where the eunuch was reading, and as you read the entirety of the 53rd chapter, it tells us of the impending death of the Lamb of God. It speaks of one that is going to be slaughtered like a dumb lamb, one that is going to be cut off from among the living. And the reason that it was going to be done is because of the sins of the people. It would be the means by which God would find in His heart to say, I totally forgive. I will remember your sins no longer against you. You get into the New Testament, and in Matthew 1 and 1, we find that Jesus is in the lineage of Abraham. He is that seed promise, that one that was to come, that is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of His people, Matthew 1, 21. His name meant God with us, or among us. He was coming for the very reason to stop the death of all the animals and to relieve all mankind of his or her sin. It is interesting that when John saw Jesus coming, he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The people were looking, the Jews were looking for someone coming on a white charger. Someone that was going to lead them, as had Solomon and David and Saul. Someone that would lead them into battle. Someone that would get them out of this Roman domination. But he did not come as one sitting on a white steed. He came showing himself to be one who would be slaughtered. One who would be crucified. One whose blood was shed. But as we use the term shed, we do not mean it to mean that it was because somebody did it. It's because Christ willingly did it. You know, like a lamb doesn't willingly give his life. But Christ did. Christ willingly put himself into a position where he would be slaughtered, where his blood would flow. We see his blood starting as they whip him. We see his blood begin to flow as they place the thorn of thieves, the crown of thorns, rather, upon his head. You know, for the first time in my life, I got to see honey locusts. I don't like your honey locusts at all. Those things are humongous. But you know, one thing that it did, it brought to my mind when I first saw that, it brought to my mind what it must have been like for the Lord to wear a crown of thorns. You haven't seen a honey locust. You don't want to, necessarily. You don't want it in your yard. You don't want it in your foot. You don't want it in your tire or anything else. It's an ugly tree. And then after they placed him on the cross, they nailed him there. And then they pierced him. The blood of Christ. The Lamb of God being sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Jesus himself mentioned it In John 6 and verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life. We're not cannibalistic. We partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. We're not eating His blood and eating His flesh literally. It represents, and it should, every time we partake of that, we should actually remember the blood that flowed for your sins. He suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Then as He was with His apostles in Matthew chapter 26 and there verse 28, He said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He called upon them to remember that. This is my blood. It is going to be shed. It had not yet been. It's going to be shed for the remission of sins. In order for sins to be remitted, Jesus was going to have to allow His blood to be taken for life again, beloved. Life is in the blood. And when that blood flowed, our Christ died. John wrote it this way in 1 John chapter 2 and there verse 2, "And He Himself is the propitiation." Propitiation. That is, He is our atonement. He is our sacrifice. Just as those animals that we showed just a few moments ago, as they were the sacrifice, Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. His blood was shed. I don't know a whole lot of people, maybe for their own family, but as a whole, not for anybody else. As a whole, I say, there's some exceptions to that. Most folks are not going to lay down their life for you. Do you know that? The average person that you meet on the street, she's not going to lay down. They are not going to sacrifice themselves for you. Paul said in Romans 5, verse 8, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He said that while those Romans were still in sin, guilty, that Christ shed His blood. "This is my blood," He shed, He said. I want you to turn to Hebrews, if you would. For the Hebrew letter, especially verse 9, chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, it's a rather long reading, but you and I need to read it regardless of the time involved in reading it. And I want you, as you read this, and as I read it with you, I want you to see that what's taking place is that Jesus is giving His blood for you. He's giving His blood for you. He's given His blood for me. I am the cause of this blood being shed. Let me ask you a question. Are you worthy? I'm not. But I'm grateful that He did. Read with me, beginning with verse 6. "Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first place of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. And the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with food and drink, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation." All of those things, all of those sacrifices, all of those ordinances, everything that was done, all that blood that was shed, couldn't alleviate the problem. Though it was required, it couldn't alleviate the problem that is sin that separated man from God. Verse 11 begins by saying, But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. not with the blood of bulls and, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most high place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, that is blood, by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In other words, it flowed backwards as well as forward. The blood of Christ alleviated the sins of those who had offered all of those animal sacrifices year after year. They now had hope. They now could find forgiveness. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator liveth. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of these things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ, here we are again, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice. There's the atonement. There's the appeasement. There's the propitiation. He has appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once. As man dies only once, Christ offered himself only once. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with the same sacrifices which they continually offer year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they have ceased to be offered. For the worshiper, once purged, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. How would you like every year having to remember what you had done? How would you like to every year have it be brought up again? This is what you've done in the past. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Therefore, when he came to the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering did you not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volumes of the book it is written for me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. Sanctified, justified, cleansed, renewed. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, for after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts, and their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of sins, or these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Man, that is rich. All of those animals died so that man could have hope. But his hope rested in the coming Messiah. His hope rested in the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind. And he offers himself once and for all for every man's sins. The greatest sacrifice, deity, the greatest sacrifice, the Son of God, shed his blood. Why? Because he came doing the will of the Father. Time will not permit. Let me show you 14 things that the blood of Christ does. This is why you cannot take the blood out of our preaching. This is why you cannot take the blood out of our songs. This is why you cannot take the blood out of our hearts. Because it is through His blood we have remission of sins and have life. We find justification, redemption. We are able to draw near to God and have peace with God. We're purified, justified, sanctified, cleansed, washed. Able to boldly enter to the holiest place. We are a purchased people, beloved. Paul, in writing to the church, or writing to the elders at Ephesus, emphasized that they were elders of the church of God, which the Lord had purchased. It is the means that we are made white, that we are being cleansed. We overcome by His blood. I mean, you could spend a whole day, or not a whole, yes you could, a whole day on just talking about those 14 things. And that's just the beginning of it. That's just the beginning of it. The death of Jesus is God's drawing power. Jesus Himself said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This He said, signifying the death that He would die. When Jesus was lifted up for the whole world, redemption could be man, but man could not claim it was His way. Our righteousness is but as filthy rags. It is the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us. Someday, because of the blood of Christ, we'll get to go home. While we're here, we sing our songs. There's power in the blood, wonder-working power. In the cross, I glory, another song. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When I survey the wondrous cross, there's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above. He bids us all freely drink. The blood of Christ. May we never grow tired of singing praises of Jesus, the Lamb of God, as we thank Him not only on the Lord's Day as we partake of the supper, but may we thank Him every day in which we live for the sacrifice that He made, the blood that He shed, so that you and I could go home. But we couldn't go home until there was remission of sins. And it was only through His blood that remission can be found. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When Jimmy obeyed the gospel Thursday night, the blood of Jesus cleansed his soul. When you and I obeyed the gospel, the blood of Christ cleansed our soul. We were sanctified. We were justified. We were washed. There are those in this assembly this morning that need to be cleansed. The only thing that will cleanse you, my beloved, is the blood of Jesus Christ itself. There's nothing that I can do. Oh, I can encourage you, but it is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. And every time you say no, you're saying His sacrifice was to no avail in my life. That's what a denial was all about.
As children of God, we may sometimes forget that we have been washed and sanctified and justified. We make jokes about it for some reason. I don't know why we go back into the world. Why would we crucify Christ afresh? Why would we make His blood of no account in reference to ourselves once where we had held it so high? There may be someone here today that's a Christian that's forgotten about the blood. My beloved, if the blood doesn't bring you back, there's probably nothing that will. For it is through the blood, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, that we find our hope, because our sins have been forgiven. Think about that while together we stand and as we sing.